In today's gospel reading, the themes are a dual theme. One is conversion, and one aspect is call. And it's interesting that now John the Baptist dies, and now Jesus picks up the banner. And that banner is repent, reform your lives, convert, turn, become closer to God. Conversion is a wonderful aspect, and we can see the dramatic aspects of conversion, and they influence us in a great way. I was a neighborhood kid, obviously, on the south side of Chicago, and neighborhood kids tend to be a little tougher, and usually because they're kind of have to be a little bit more streetwise in their dealings with the day-to-day experiences that they encounter. And one of the kids who lived on the block was really a smart kid. I mean, he was smart intellectually, later went on to receive a PhD, so he was smart intellectually. And he was a tough kid. He was tough. So those were the two characteristics that you put together in this man as he was growing up. And I knew him. The families were close, and so we knew one another and got to know a little bit about him. And you didn't want to be part of suddenly the barb. So if he would turn his wit or attention on you, and he would start to talk to you, and he would find you weak in some way, boom, he would come right in, zero in, because he was just so sharp, he'd zero right in and usually win most of the arguments that he'd encounter. He was drafted. It was the Vietnam period, and he was drafted in Vietnam, and he went off, served in our country, came back, served in the Navy, and came back, and was in a car, with no top on, no top on the car, a bunch of military guys in the cars, and they probably were speeding, and probably was a little bit of other things that were involved, and they were traveling down the road, hit and struck the side of the road, and a car threw him 90 feet from the vehicle, and he landed on the spine. His family was a family of faith, and of course, as they went through it, the period of time where they realized most of the lower part of his anatomy was paralyzed, and even the use of both of his hands, which would have made him a paraplegic as opposed to a quadriplegic, even the hands were limited in their use because of the destruction of the spine in the higher area. They went through a lot of angers, obviously. The first part was a tremendous aspect of reliance upon faith and looking how faith is going to shore them up. Even in his own life, he looked upon faith. And then he started to get angry because God wasn't doing what he wanted him to do. Pushed away from, went to various miracle workers and healers and sought everything. When suddenly science failed, he turned to God and God wasn't there for him. God wasn't there. He maintained his faith, though, on an objective level. You know, he still prayed, he attended Mass, but it was very weak. I renewed my acquaintance with him. I had already been ordained a priest. The family still knew one another, and there was a request that maybe I could come over and bring communion at Christmas and Easter, especially those two times for him. I said, oh, sure, I'd be glad to spend a little time with him, bring him the Eucharist, also offer the sacraments to him, and he participated in that. I was doing it for about 5 or 6 years. It was now Christmas, and I came in, I had the Eucharist with me, and I came in to him. I sat across from him. But by this time, he had already received a PhD in history. So, when I say a bright man, he was a bright man. I had the Eucharist there with me, took the Eucharist out, in kind of preparation, and he looked at me and he said, Jerry, he says, why don't you sit down? I want to talk with you a little bit before we do it. And I went, oh, no. That sharp wit of his, that sense, is there something that he's gleaned onto? Is it something that now I'm going to have to respond? He said, I want to share something with you. And I looked at him and said, yeah, what is it? And he said, I want to tell you something in particular. I went, oh, my gosh, it's that tone of voice, too. You something in particular. So there it was, priest in his life. I said, okay, go ahead, fire away. And he said, I have come to understand that this condition of mine has been my salvation. It has saved my soul. That through the suffering, it has brought me closer to God, and I wouldn't have been there. I was on a track coming out of the service that was taking me away from God and would have pushed me further from that which is the real source of my strength. Well, there was a Christmas present received that day, and it was given to me in terms of hearing a conversion story. A story that looked through one's own suffering, one's own limitation, and reached out and understood that as the powerful presence of God in a life that drew him closer to the Lord. Conversion. That's the first part. Repent and believe. Take a look at our own limitation, our own life, and turn it over to God. Understand it's only God that can come in and turn us around. It's what Jesus was talking in terms of the repent and believe, reform your lives. Don't be caught in our own sense of selfishness, but turn ourselves over to God so that suddenly that can be used as an instrument. And what a powerful message, what a powerful statement that is. I say conversion in the second aspect is call. We see the call in John's gospel. We see the call. But notice it's a double call. You know, why did they do that? Why did he, I said John's gospel, I didn't mean John's gospel. So why did they do that? Why was it a double call? Why was it first the call to Peter and then the secondary call to the sons of Zebedee in Matthew's gospel? Why was it? Well, the first call was a call that took him away from possessions. The second call was a call that took them away from the relationship that they were involved in. The first call was to leave the things they were doing and to follow him in terms of vocation. The second was literally to leave father and the possessions. So it was a depth to the call. It was an understanding that the call demands from us a total and complete turning over. One of the wonderful things that a priest gets to do is witness weddings. You know, and all sorts of things when that moment when the bride and the groom, come forward. And I mean, and I'm sorry to the ladies here present, but you do see a lot of tears in terms of a lot of the women, you know. But one that really shocked me, I'll tell you, was exactly the opposite. The young man got up and now was supposed to go through his vows. And he reached over and he loved this woman, and he's still married to her today, some 27 or 20 years ago with all the kids type of thing. And he reached over, and it was coming from a great Catholic family. He reached over, the two of them clasped their hands, and I started to say the first three or four words in the vows. And this is about a 6'2", about 220-pound man, and he started to cry. Started to bawl. Everybody kind of looking. And you know how when you're crying, you're caught with the emotional moment, you can't get the words out, you can't spit them out. He couldn't get the words out. And I watched, and his, now wife, then bride, reached over and grabbed his hand. And there was the power, the strength of that moment, which suddenly allowed him to gain the composure and to turn and to proclaim the vows, to turn himself over. A moment, a vocational moment. And you know what happened? As I talked to him afterwards, everything just came upon him. He was leaving home and family and mother. And now he was going to be husband and father. And it just came over him. Just came over him. And the emotions were so great. And the power and the strength and the relationship and the vocation he had committed to was there in the hand of that woman was going to share that life. What are we looking at? We're looking at the call. You know, that's the call. Vocation is a call, and that's the call. The aspect now was the giving up of possession, the giving up of relationships to enter into a new one. That was it. Take a look in your own lives. There are those moments in your own lives, but be it the wedding, be it the time, the birth of a child, but it just floods upon you the responsibility of what you are now called to be, to do. Here, Jesus radically is talking in terms of our faith. There's the conversion in our life. That's the light that is talked about in terms of Isaiah, the light that comes in and dispels the darkness. And now we see that light. And that light comes again and again. You know why? Because in our own lives, we have to constantly reinforce the conversion that's continuing on. It's a continuing turning to Jesus. It's a continuing opening ourselves up to see his presence in our lives, in our families. We don't become stagnant in our faith. Conversion forces us to deepen our faith. That's why in relationships, the first moment of the relationship is a moment of illumination, but it continues to grow in true relationships. I'm a better priest today than I was the day I was kissing the ground and lying prostrate before the altar, or when the cardinal was placing his hands on my head ordaining me. I'm a better priest today. Why? Because of you. The encounter with the church, the encounter with people, and the ability to see the faith kind of progress. And my own sense of priesthood is better today than it was on that day. True for marriage. When you come in terms of marriage and take a look at one another and commit to one another and commit to that aspect in terms of life, you know this is what you're called to. Now you're living it out. In faith, that's what Jesus is calling us to. That constant conversion, to understand the call from him, to deepen the relationship. And why? Because that is the source and the power and the strength in the world. There is no division in the cross. The cross is a sense of unity. And that unity is not only outside of ourselves, but inside of ourselves too, in relationship to what God has called us to be and to do in this world. And that's what he's calling those disciples of his. He's calling them to be and to do for him. You're the disciples. You're proclaiming that conversion. And that conversion continues to go on and on despite the encounters that we have in this life. Women for Christ is going to have a conference. And in that conference, they've invited a wonderful speaker. The speaker is Immaculée. Here is a woman who was a survivor of the Rwandan genocide. We're talking about the Hutus and the Tutsis, and we had Christians on both sides. And they were one was trying to exterminate the other. In a brutal fashion, her whole family was exterminated. Again, here's a woman, in terms of her own life, that should have rejected that God. Where is this God of love that we talk about? And yet it was that God of love who came into her life during her suffering and elevated her to a deeper understanding that through the suffering, he was drawing her closer to him. Statement of faith. We look upon our own suffering in this world. We look upon what has been given to us in terms of our task, the mission. And we ask ourselves, are we the sign of unity? Are we demonstrating the love that we know God has for us? And are we sharing it with others? The call: convert, repent, leave possessions and relationships, and understand that you do so for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.